So good to see you all. Just like to remind you that we want to continue our prayers for Sharon and Jack. Sharon had a little bit of that heart issues, and she's now home, resting comfortably. And also Jack has a bit of a knee issues as well, so remember them in your prayers. The Advent season usually starts right after Thanksgiving, and but this year you start from next Sunday. This not today, but next Sunday. But I decided to preach on a message related to the Christmas season from today. So if you would, I'm gonna share the message that God has placed in my heart as we look at the things that's going around in this world today. Two neighborhood boys were very close, that they often shared their secrets with each other. One day they were talking on their way home from school. One of the boys said, "I am really worried. My dad overworks daily to give us a lovely home, plenty of food, and great vacations. And my mom spends half of her time keeping the house clean and washing and ironing my clothes, and the rest of her time doing a part-time job to earn us extra little luxuries." "Wow," said his friend. "You sound really lucky. So why are you worried?" The first boy said, "What if they try to run away?" Children may not fully understand the love and sacrifices of their parents. The love a parent has for their child is unmatched. Joseph and Mary, Jesus' earthly parents, also demonstrated love and sacrifice. They faced possible condemnation, humiliation, and excommunication from their close-knit community to become instrument for the Messiah's arrival in human flesh. Joseph and Mary did not suffer any negative repercussions. You know the reason? They would have successfully kept facts about Jesus secret from their community and probably even their relatives. So how much did Jesus' relatives know Jesus? Let's talk about Jesus' relative that we can find in the scripture. The most prominent relative to Jesus is John the Baptist. John's mother, Elizabeth, was Mary's relative. The King James Version translated the word relative as cousin. There was a convincing reason behind that translation. Mary's pregnancy is not something any ordinary teenage and traditional girl could easily handle. The closest relative with whom Mary could share her pregnancy secret could have been her cousin. It means that Elizabeth was Jesus' aunt and John the Baptist, Jesus' first cousin. Therefore, John and Jesus had known each other since their childhood. But the question is, did John really know Jesus that well? Later on, John's preaching of repentance, forgiveness, and baptism paved the path for Jesus to begin his public ministry. The second prominent relative of Jesus were John and James, the two top two of the top three disciples of Jesus. You know, Peter, John, and James, they were top disciples. John and James were sons of Zebedee. Their mother once asked Jesus to make them see that Jesus' right and left in his kingdom. How were John and James related to Jesus? I don't know if you have noticed this, but compare the crucifixion account in the gospel. Who appears at the cross? You know, that the most the critical moments of Jesus' life. Who was there? And the Christian community then were very keen to notice who were there. Okay? In Matthew 27, it says, at the cross was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's children. The mother of Zebedee's children. Okay? So, James and John were the sons of Zebedee, right? The mother of James and John was there. Mark 15 gives a similar account to Matthew's, but identify the name of the mother of Zebedee's children was Salome or Salome. It says, some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, you know, same as the Matthew, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, same as the Matthew. And then it says Salome instead of the mother of the mother of Zebedee's children, which means the mother of Zebedee's children, the mother of John and James, her name was Salome. And now, John 19 is a little more specific about how mother of John and James is related to Mary. It says this, by the cross of Jesus stood Jesus' mother, Mary, right? His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So, you know, these three, Mary, his mother's sister, and Mary Magdalene, this is kind of similar to Matthew and Mark. And Mary, the wife of Cleopas, you know, the Israelite wife of Zebedee, so that's a different individual. So John is unique about it. So if you would put those three Gospels together, the wife of Zebedee was the sister of Mary. What does that mean? It means John and James were Jesus' first cousin. Okay? Now, John was Jesus' beloved disciples. Picture how close he was to Jesus. He leaned against Jesus during the Last Supper, and he was the one who asked Jesus, Lord, who is going to betray you? John was the only disciple who was present at the cross. Jesus entrusted Mary under the care of John. Not only did Jesus love John, but also Mary was John's aunt. That's why Jesus asked John to take care of his aunt. John is the one who wrote John's gospel, three epistles of John, and the Revelation. What happened to brother James? He became the first martyr among the 12. This James is called the James the Great. As I shared last Sunday, John and James were from Capernaum, where Jesus resided during his public ministry. We can assume that Jesus' relatives lived in that town, And Jesus probably found a place to live through his relative connections. The next one is Jesus' own brother, James, one of the four sons from Joseph and Mary. The Apostle Paul states that James, the brother of Jesus, Peter and John were key leaders of Jerusalem church. When James became the leaders of the Jerusalem church, James, the brother of John, one of the 12, suffered the martyrdom, right? So he wasn't there. So James, when we see James in Paul's epistles, Paul's letters, was John, Jesus' brother. And we call James the less. John's brother, James, we call James the great. And James, Jesus' brother, we call James the less. When Paul went up to Jerusalem 3 years after his conversion, he met with James. James was that important. Why Paul met James in Jerusalem church? Because James was one of the key leaders. Paul said that the risen Christ appeared to James. James was a keynote speaker in the first Jerusalem council and recommended Paul's ministry for Gentiles. You know, there was a big argument about whether they should reach out to the Gentiles or not. And James, one of the one who spoke very strongly, recommending Paul to go to the Gentile and serve them, preach to them. The church tradition believed this James, James the Less, brother of Jesus, wrote the epistle of James. These relatives played critical role in the ministry of Jesus and in the early church. However, did they become leaders by their bloodline? Not necessarily so, considering the following fact. Holy Family would visit Jerusalem during the Passover every year, and Jesus stayed back while Joseph and Mary were returning home 1 year. They later found Jesus in Jerusalem and became upset. Jesus told his earthly parents that he had to be in his father's house, but they did not understand what Jesus was talking about. At the wedding in Cana, Mary told Jesus that the wedding party ran out of wine. Jesus said to her, "Why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come." Apparently, up to that point, Mary did not fully understand the mission of Jesus. Now, John the Baptist knew Jesus from early on. And John appeared to recognize Jesus as the Messiah when Jesus approached John to be baptized by him. John said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But while John was in prison, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, and this was his question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus began his public ministry, right? He was baptized by John. He began his public ministry. But this was the question John asked. John wasn't quite sure whether Jesus was the Messiah. The two brothers, John and James, did not seem to enjoy the privilege as Jesus' first cousin. If Jesus had given them a relative chance, right, they would have been called first before Peter and Peter's brother Andrew. But they were called after them, after Peter and Andrew. Like their mother, Salome, John and James were interested in high political position when Jesus was going up to Jerusalem and faced the crucifixion. They were interested in, you know, "I want to sit on your right hand, and my brother want to sit on your left hand side." they were interested in political position, which means they did not appear to understand Jesus' true identity as the Messiah. So you put all this together. In summary, being related to Jesus by bloodline did not help them realize Jesus as the Messiah. Their faith and commitment to Jesus came only after their personal experiences and the personal revelations that they had after the fact. Their confession of faith as the Messiah came long later, after. This draws a baseline to define family, I would like to point out. What is family? At one point, Jesus' mother and his brother stood outside wanting to speak to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Who is my brother and who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus' understanding of family is a bit different from what we have. Jesus was a family man. The gospel said while growing up, Jesus remained obedient to his earthly parents. Jesus also loved his mother Mary. But Jesus had a bigger perspective on family. He embraced the entire world family with his love, which was his very purpose in coming into the world. Yes, our families are so important to us. They are the source of our strength, joy, and happiness. Nonetheless, bloodline does not naturally bring families together. You know, problem that I have in my family, it's like, you know, Johnny, my second son, is, you know, growing up, he thinks that he knows better than I do. And sometimes, you know, he calls me and said, "Dad, I have a brilliant idea about your sermon, new sermon." And gives me, it's like, "You got to preach on this. This is a brilliant idea." And so he and I argue a lot, when he comes down here. And then he came down for Thanksgiving, and he and I was, again, arguing with each other. And Esther talked to her mom, my wife, and said, "Look, Mom, Daddy is fighting with his twin." And you know what Johnny said? Johnny said, "Hey, Dad, you're my bro." You know, because I called God the Father and he called God the Father, so we are brothers, right? The family that we see as Christians is a little bit different from the way that the world look at it. Bloodline does not bring the family together and strengthen it. Not necessarily so. It's the love of our Heavenly Father builds the genuine family of God. The biography called Nomar, is the story of well-known singer for Lawrence Welk, Norma Jimmer. One of the more poignant aspects of her story is that of her teen years. Her parents were a source of great pain to her because of their drinking. Though these years were difficult for her, she began to find an escape into a better world through singing. As a senior in high school, Noma was invited to become a featured church soloist by Carl A. Peitzer of the University Christian Church in Seattle. When her parents heard she was going to sing a solo in church, they both insisted they wanted to hear her, though they did not normally attend. She tells the story of that morning. I was excited and elated at the prospect of singing again. The choir processed down the middle aisle, and as we walked, I stole glances at the congregation, trying to find my parents. I couldn't spot mom and dad. Then in horror, I saw them weaving down the aisle in the state of intoxication. They were late. Few empty seats were left. My parents stumbled over the feet of other people to reach a place in the middle of the row. The whole congregation started. I don't know how I got through that morning. When I stood up to sing, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings," the song seemed interminable. I tried to think only of the words and kept my eyes from turning to the row where my parents sat. I took my seat, my heart pounding, my cheeks burning. Dr. Hastings started to preach. At first, I hardly heard him. Then his word reached me. God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in time of trouble. My own trouble seemed to bear down on me with tremendous weight that morning. I felt I had more than my share of grief, and I knew I needed help. I realized how desperate life in our family was without God. And that day, I recommitted my life to him. As Dr. Hastings preached that morning, Jesus came into my life not only as a Savior, but for daily strength and direction. We need more than our love and sacrifices to build our families. We need God's love in our family. We need Jesus to mend our broken relationship in our families and build up our families. Let us imitate Jesus and expand our life circle, not only just our family members, but God's entire family. Hatred and divisions are prevalent in today's world. The good news that God commissions us to preach is God is our Father, and through His Son Jesus, we become brothers and sisters. Amen.